Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the 40 is the End podcast, and I'm your host, Kat Branch. In today's episode, I am so excited. I shared with you guys last week that I was going to be bringing on a dear friend and mentor, and we have her today. So today we're cliffhanging with Doreen, and I'm so excited again. I have known Doreen, just to give you a little bit of backstory about Doreen and our relationship, I have known her for this year makes 10 years, which is so crazy. The current university that I work at, I started in 2008, and she was my first boss. I was in that position, I believe, for about 4 years. However, I think maybe I reported to you maybe for a year before there was like this reorganization that happened. I can't remember exactly. But I feel like we always had, I mean, and I think you'd say the same, we always had a great working relationship even after that transition. I remember being in meetings, and Doreen used to lead the meetings, and she would always, she might say something funny, or I don't know what it was, but she always used to, it used to be funny to me. I don't know if it was just how you would present information sometimes, and you would just, I mean, you know, you have a way about you. And she would always look down at the end of the table because I would snicker, and she's like, "What are you laughing at?" I'll be like, "Nothing. I mean, I think I'm laughing with you. I'm not laughing at you." But, you know, we always had like a very easy relationship. Even as manager to team member, I just felt like really comfortable with you. You were very down to earth, no airs about yourself. Like, we just really connected. And at the time, I really couldn't explain it. I mean, we just got along well. And then I think we always, it was always genuine. And so I think once I left that department and transitioned over to another area at the university, and then you later, too, came over to that side of the university, I think it was like an easy transition. I think that allowed us to become closer once we were in a different environment. And to me, I think that's where that friendship was built, and also it became more of a mentorship. And it's funny, in that friendship, it became, like I said, a mentorship and me seeking advice from you, not even realizing that our relationship also was like mentor to mentee, now that I look back on it. But as you know, this is a new thing that I'm doing with this podcast, and I just wanted to say that she has been very supportive of me. I don't know if you all remember in my first episode, The Master Procrastinator, my introductory episode, I mentioned to you someone who had reached out to me asking how it was going, and I said I had lied to them. If you haven't gotten a chance, go back and listen to the to my first episode. Well, that person that I was lying to was Doreen. And it was so funny because I was like, oh, my God, I can't. I think because of how much I value your support and how you genuinely care and want to see people succeed, I felt so bad. And so I had told you and given you specific information about what I was doing and my plans, and I gave you a specific date. And when I sent that text back to you and said, oh, I'm still working on it, I'm like, I'm lying. You know, and your opinion and your friendship means so much to me. And I know that you're the friend that I can will hold me accountable in a way that is loving. And so I was like, I have to do it. And so thank you for sending that text. I'm so glad that you held me accountable, and I appreciate you for that. So I've talked a whole bunch already. So I don't know if there's anything you want to say before I kind of get into something about how I've observed you and your transition over the years. So if you want to say something now, you can go ahead and you have the floor.
Thank you, Catherine. And I'm very nervous. Sorry about that. I agree with everything you said. I'm very thankful that that our paths crossed when they did. I can't believe it's been 10 years. And I'm just very thankful that you've invited me to do this. And again, just say I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited as well. And I'm very pleased that you're doing this for yourself and for others. And yeah, that's all I have right now.
Okay, great. So when I think back to what you've shown me over the years, I think I know. So in the last 10 years, you were in your 40s or just turning 40 when I met you.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that I can remember was when you stopped smoking. I feel like when you decided to stop smoking, it like totally changed you. Like you started, I don't know if you started running first. I mean, she's done triathlons. And one thing I will say is Doreen is the type of person that when she does something, she does it to exhaustion. Like you, I mean, I have never seen someone stop smoking and do all of the things that you've done. What do you think, if you don't mind sharing, what was like the catalyst for you stopping smoking? Because if I believe, I think I remember you saying you tried many times, but like that time, it was just like, I'm stopping, and you got into all this other stuff. Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Sure. So I had tried to quit smoking probably more than a dozen times. I had tried the patch, the pill, hypnosis, acupuncture, everything that was out there, I tried. And unfortunately, I failed to quit every time. So when I was turning 40, I said that I was either going to quit smoking or die a smoker because I wasn't going to fail at quitting again. Mm-hmm. So it was actually the year in which that I was turning 40 in January, probably a New Year's resolution is what it was. But it was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. But in order to give that up, I had to find healthy things to do to replace and to be able to cope. And I'll never forget, I was at the university as well, as you know, and I reached out to a principal investigator that I knew had been working on smoking cessation and explained how difficult it was. They, at no cost, sent over counselors because I had never thought about smoking as being something that was replacing something emotional. I never thought of it like that. But as it turned out, they were able to help me through that process. And then that's when I started running, was I needed to do something healthy, find other ways to cope and deal with stress and just things that I hadn't found healthy ways to manage. So it was, and my husband has since said that he was pretty sure, though he never said it to me then, which I'm quite thankful, but he wasn't sure that that was something I was going to be able to do, was quit smoking. So I know that if I ever picked one up, that would be the end. I would continue again. So yeah, very difficult, but it was life-changing.
Wow. And so to me, running is harder than... As you know, I have to picture that when I did my first half marathon, my first and last, well, I won't say my first, my last, because I intend to do it again. When I did my first half marathon, Doreen graciously volunteered to run it with me. And oh my God, it was long and arduous, but I got through. But I only got through it because of you. And so to take on the task of going from smoking to running, like, what was that like? How did you get started?
So first of all, you made it through that half marathon because of you, not me. I was there to help support you, but you got yourself through that. Nobody can get any one of us through a half marathon without us being able to do it ourselves. But I remember this, I said to my husband, I have to get a pair of running shoes if I'm quitting smoking. And I remember where we got them, what they looked like. Actually, I still think I have them, although I've had to change them many times. Mm-hmm. And we lived in Dade City at the time, and we started off on the trail, and oh my gosh, a quarter of a mile was painful. Like there was no way I was ever going to be a runner, but mm-hmm. it was just like each day I went a little further, a little further. Speed was never something I was concerned with. I just wanted to be able to start and finish alive. The first thing I did was a Moffitt, a miles for Moffitt 5K, mm-hmm. and then just kind of went up and up and up from there. And then a mutual friend of ours at the university mm-hmm. said, well, we should do a triathlon. And I thought she was crazy. and then, so as you mentioned earlier, sometimes I have a tendency to overdo something. And so that year that I did my first triathlon, I said, oh, I should do 3 triathlons in 1 year. You know, 3 is try. So at any rate, I had to just do something else. Mm-hmm. Healthy.
right. And I remember, I mean, it was amazing. And then you have to mention, you also did something called so you did the running, the triathlons, and then what was that, 100-mile bike ride?
Oh, yeah, bike across Florida. That was, my husband dropped me off at Cocoa Beach. He drove over 2 hours. I think it's 2 hours from the Tampa area to Cocoa. He dropped me off and said, so I just drop you here and then I pick you up where? And that was up in the northern part, I forget, over in like, I forget the name of the city, but up near Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. And so it takes 2 days and it's 180 miles. And that was an extremely challenging. I was supposed to go with a friend, but the friend unfortunately had a family event and couldn't make it. So this was very different because it was on with runs, you know, you have people along showing you exactly where to run. There's very clear markers, but this was like a kind of like you're on your own kind of thing. And I hadn't printed out the map because I was used to other events that, you know, sponsors were out there telling you where to go. So fortunately, I was very fortunate to meet up with four women who were similar to me in my pace and my age. And I stuck with them for the rest of that day and the next day. Otherwise, I think I would have stopped and called them and said, come get me. I'm a mile out of Cocoa Beach. So, but yeah, that was a pretty amazing event and something that I still remember and talk about, because those are the kinds of things that you look back. I actually hadn't thought about it in a while, so pretty mm-hmm. cool.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And I think that even for me, when I started, like you say, with the giving up smoking and it being something where you've tried different things for years, it has been the same way for me and my weight. And when you talk about smoking was something that helped you with an emotional thing that you weren't ready to deal with, I think for me it has been the same thing with food, where you use cigarette, I use food. And so even now, as I am going through this transition and learning different things that I need to use to focus on to help bring me joy, and to help me not reach for the wrong things, it's a process. And so I could definitely see how by you constantly using exercise and moving on from running to swimming to biking and doing all those things, how you have to have that. Because if you don't replace it, like you said, with something, you can't just give up something and then not replace it with something is basically what I'm trying to get around.
Right, agree.
Very significant point that you make, because I think that that's why sometimes I know that I failed before, is because, you know, I'm taking away something, but I'm still, you know, I may be doing the exercise and I may be doing the eating right and I'm losing the weight, but I haven't replaced it with something else to help me emotionally, to help me to feel fulfilled, and also to help me to be able to deal with that thing that is bothering me that I have not, that I've been trying to suppress. with the food, because you have, and I think I mentioned this in one of my episodes about, you have to allow whatever that thing is, whatever that pain is, to come up and out so that you can deal with it, because you've never felt it before, obviously it doesn't feel good, but you have to feel it, and it's okay to feel it. I think a lot of times we try to say, you know, I'm not doing that. But the only way to be better, you know, is to face those things head on.
Right.
So would you say that in doing all of that training, that it helped you to be able to address maybe some painful things that you might have dealt with or had
dealt with? Absolutely. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that the decade between, well, probably about 36-ish up until my late 40s was the most transformational period of time for that very reason. Like with each thing that you do that may not be healthy and you replace it with something that is healthy, you still have to deal with whatever it is at the core. Mm-hmm. And it's hard work. And it often is something that people, myself included, try to pretend doesn't exist and get into old habits or find ways to hide from it. And it's really hard work. But yes, I would agree.
Mm-hmm. What would you... So I know you're very happy with where you are right now in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you might have done differently throughout this process?
You know, I think about that a lot. And, you know, I know it sounds cliche and strange. Oh, I wouldn't change anything because, you know. But the more I think about that, the more I realize what I think I would have liked to have done differently is not make the same mistakes more than once. Like when I would have an event in my life happen where I wasn't as proud of myself or didn't feel like I was the best person I could be, I consider that a learning opportunity to become a better me. And so to repeat that same mistake then is like, okay, so what is really the problem here? Like, you didn't learn from the first time, so why are you doing this again? And then trying to analyze and sometimes overanalyzing what caused it. But I would just try to not make the same mistakes more than once. And because I'm so thankful and appreciative of where I am in my life, I know that everything I did and everything I was part of and every person and every event helped get me here. So on the one hand, I think, well, if I had done anything differently, I wouldn't be here and I would really not like that. So I'm kind of two different minds thinking that at some point, I mean, everything was a learning process. So I don't know if that's helpful, but mm-hmm. I think that's so kind of like, I would just really not do anything differently except hopefully learn more from any mistake that I made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. I think another thing for me about you is that you are a go-getter, like obviously with the things that you've done as it relates to your health. But all the while Doreen was running and doing triathlons and riding her bike all around Florida, you were also working on completing your bachelor's degree and went on to get your master's all over 40.
Yep.
You know, which is amazing. How were you able to manage doing all that and, you know, advancing, progressing in your education, like going after, you know, your educational accomplishment?
Could not have done any of that without the support of my family and friends and having a flexible work environment too. It was, you know, whenever you do so much activity and you're so involved with other things, it takes time away from those that you love. And unless I had that support and understanding of how important it was to get my degrees and do the other events, it couldn't have happened. I mean, yes, I did it, but I did it with the help of many, many individuals. Mm-hmm. And also just knowing that at the end of the day, it was important for me to do that for me, to feel better as a person, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, without the degrees, I wouldn't have been able to be where I am today. Mm-hmm.
So would you say that giving up the smoking was your biggest transition in life?
It was for a long time until my dad died. Mm-hmm. The death of my father combined with, so he was dying in Florida in December of 2015. And at the same time he was in his last days at hospice, our first grandson was visiting from New Hampshire in Florida. Mm-hmm. And the night my father died at about 2 a.m. on December 23rd, and that day my husband and I were supposed to go with our son, daughter-in-law, and grandson to the aquarium in Florida. And I thought, well, I shouldn't do that because I should be, you know, grieving the loss of my dad. And I was encouraged by my family to do it anyway. And so through that process of seeing like joy and life in who was at the time a one-year-old with the death and the pain of losing my dad, I realized how important some things are and how important other things are not. And it was soon after that we decided to move to New Hampshire, and leaving my mother was a tough thing as it stands. Now my mother actually moved here, so that worked out well. But we, you know, my husband hadn't been in the snow. We left. I was at the university for 16 years. We were in our 50s. You don't make changes from Florida to New Hampshire in your 50s. we moved to a city in a town where I wasn't sure I had a job yet, to a place we hadn't even seen to live. And here we are 2.5 years later in a house that we love that is 2 miles from our two grandsons and our third coming in November. So I'd say that probably all of that occurred because the death of my dad happened and mm-hmm. having to see my grandson, our grandson, during that same period of time. So that kind of took over as the largest transition in my life.
Wow. And I think you have always showed how important your family is to you just by the sacrifice. I remember you used to take off time from work. I mean, even it, once again, going back to here, this woman is doing all of this change and all of these workouts and all this different stuff, going to school and taking care of your parents, and helping them out. It's like you found time. I feel like you made so many sacrifices, and then now to see where your life is now and how blessed you are. And when I see like your pictures on Instagram with the kids and the mountains and you're hiking and all this stuff, it's like, oh my God, like she is living her best life.
Yeah. That is way past truth.
I mean, and it's so amazing because I think that, you know, for those of us that know you, it's like, wow, like she has done it all. And in a short amount of time, it like has not been, you know, years. And it's like you said, I remember when you made the decision to move to New Hampshire. I mean, I was sad, obviously, but it's like, this is so amazing. Like, I was so happy for you. I knew I was going to miss you, but it's like, wow, just to see the complete evolution of your life from when I met you in the span of, oh, my God, so you left in 2016?
We left in, yeah, April 28th, 2016.
Wow, so you did in 8 years what people fail to accomplish sometimes in a lifetime.
That's funny.
I mean, really. And I mean, it's just been an awesome example, definitely an awesome example. So what would you say has been your greatest lesson up to this point? I mean, I guess you just shared it about realizing what was important in losing your father.
Yeah, that was huge. That was the first. I mean, I've been very fortunate, very blessed that I haven't had a lot of loss in my life. The first, actually, there was a colleague at the University of South Florida that suddenly died, which had a real impact on me. Unexpected death kind of puts into perspective what life is all about. And then we took care of my mother-in-law, and then she died. Lived a long, great life, but it does, we say, we hear things about live in the present, live each day as it were your last, and then we tend to not do that. We get caught up in the moment, or we get caught up in something that is, at the time, seems so overwhelming, and we lose sight of how fortunate we are to be breathing, and have two legs and two arms. And so I've had the fortune, good fortune, to work in an environment with individuals that have a lot of pain, a lot of darkness, people are living homeless. They're living, just something that I don't personally experience, but I've learned the value of the life that I have, and how important it is to not lose sight of that and be thankful and give back as much as I can to those that are less fortunate.
Do you have any fears about getting older?
I love getting older so much. I mean, it's like I would never go back. Sometimes people are like, oh, I wish I could live this over. Not me. My life has just improved immensely the older I get. I will, however, say that some of the physical parts of aging are annoying, the most being vision. I'm really, really upset that I have to have reading glasses to do the smallest of things. So it is really... those are the kinds of things and things you don't even think about. I remember, so 40 was easy for me. 25 was not pleasant because I was a quarter of a century old. So in my mind, 25 was like the end. And then 50 was tough because now I'm half a century old. So I think I'm good now until I'm 75. but 40 was an opportunity for me, not something that I dreaded. So I don't mind getting older. I do mind hearing loss, vision, all things that are natural part of aging. They're just annoying. I'm happy to get older, and I love being a grandmother. I'm good getting older. Just I would like some of the physical stuff to stop.
What is so funny when you mention that about the physical side of it. I remember putting on And people would tell me leading up to 40, like, just wait until you turn 40, your vision is going to start getting bad. And I'm like,
yeah.
I already wear glasses, so I don't get it. I don't know what the problem is until I think I realized it at 41 because I had on my glasses and I was reading something. And so I have the book up in front of me. And then I realized that it was blurred. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's wrong with my glasses, right?
Yeah, right. No, it's your eyes.
That's what I discovered, that I need to now take my glasses off in order to read up close.
Because
my eyes have changed. And so that was shocking. I did not like that. I was like, no, this is not fair. This shouldn't be your introduction to being over 40.
Yeah, right.
So I definitely can, I agree with you on that. So what are some things that you do to take care of yourself now?
I am really, really, really bad at self-care. Mm-hmm. Always have been, and probably that's one thing I think that's actually gotten worse as I've aged. I try very hard. I mean, running is a big thing. When I'm running, I'm only with me. My cell phone's not anywhere around, so I can't be texting. I can't be talking to anybody. I'm not playing games on my phone. When I'm running, I am totally in the moment. So that's the best thing I do for self-care. I also, you know, enjoy reading and, you know, hiking. I love time with my husband, which we don't get a lot of. It's hard for me to not feel guilty about not taking time out to help somebody else. Like, my mother lives with us now, and her sister, my aunt, live with us. Mm-hmm. And we have now 3 cats and a dog and my husband. And so we're in one household. And then, you know, we have our grandchildren, the kids here. And then so it's like I'm always trying to be productive and helpful. So I tend to put myself last, which I'm improving on. But I haven't perfected that at all. So I'm trying every day to at least have, I walk from work now. I actually take a lunch break and I walk for 20 to 30 minutes every day. And then, in the evening I run. And so those are the moments that I'm trying to take for me. So I'm hoping to improve in the self-care realm, but that hasn't been something that I've done well.
But I mean, I think that the running and your walking is a part of your self-care, you know?
Yes.
A lot of times we look at it, am I getting my hair done, my nails, massage, and all those things. But I think that, you know, if you're exercising, you know, that's a start. And anything that you can add to that is, you know, an extra. So I think that, you know, you're doing a lot. You're doing more than a lot of women are doing.
Yay!
And just, you know, exercising and making sure, because if you don't have your health, you know, we know that you don't have anything else, you know.
Right.
So what are 5 things that you would do if money and time were not an issue?
That is really, the only thing that comes to mind is I would travel with my family. Like, I would go places, see the United States first, and then see, I would travel. That's the only thing I would do. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else because I know it sounds crazy, but I really feel that I have been very fortunate and very blessed that I have been able to do just about everything I've wanted to do. I mean, the only thing in my life that I wanted that I didn't have is give birth to a child. Mm-hmm. And no amount of time there's nothing that could help there, right? Mm-hmm. So everything else, I'm very, very thankful, very thankful. So I think if time and money were not an object, I'd be like flying places, taking boats, trains, everywhere with the kids and with my husband and... Yeah, that's all. Everything else I've gotten to do.
That's awesome. You know, because a lot of people might add a lot of material things. And I think it just speaks to who you are. and the things that you value, you know, in life. I think that you're one of the most beautiful people inside and out that I have ever met. And just for the fact that you would say that it's just travel, because you think, you believe that you're blessed and you have accomplished everything that you set out to in life, is again a testament to the person that you are. And that is why I'm so thankful and grateful that you agreed to be my first guest on the podcast. And I definitely believe that it was divine intervention.
Amen.
That brought us together. And I was telling my friend, one of my dear friends, the other day, I think it was Friday, she and I were talking. And last week I was on my way to church, and I don't think we had talked. I don't even think we had text. But I was on the way to church, and I was somehow, I was thinking about you and about something. I can't even, I don't know if you, I had saw you post. I don't know what brought you to my mind. It probably was just God that just brought you to my heart. And as I'm driving, I thought to myself, it had to be God, because I said to myself, wow, I just got really emotional. And I thought to myself, I know why I love Doreen so much, and she means so much to me, because you give me a feeling like my grandfather is still alive.
Mm.
And no, you're not a man. But
that's another episode.
But the thing about it is, because of my grandfather loved me unconditionally. He was so supportive. So, I mean, you know, like grandparents are. And your love and support, and just the way that you are, and when you reach out, and even when we chat for, I mean, we don't talk. I mean, now we're better about it because of the fact that we, when we had our first conversation this year, we said we were going to make it a point to be better about it, because, you know, we used to have lunch at least twice a month.
Right.
But you make me feel loved and supported. And many people cannot say that about people in their lives. And, you know, people that they've only known for a short amount of time, you know. And so I am truly grateful for the warm and fuzzies that you give me, and for the love and support that you show. I mean, it definitely means a lot. And you've been an amazing example, and you give, I mean, the perfect example to show that 40 is not the end. You know, it's definitely the beginning. It's just about, you know, what people choose to do with their life, what they choose to make their focus about. And so I definitely have an example to show me that, you know, it's not a cigarette that I need to put down, but in putting down, you know, the bad habits and the food, I'm on the right track, and I have, you definitely laid out a blueprint for me to follow. So I just, again, want to say thank you so much. I love and appreciate you dearly, and thank you for being my first cliffhanger.
I want to say thank you to you, too. I am honored and touched and very thankful. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Thank you for helping me stretch my own mind all the time and think bigger. I've done a lot of searching within as we've known each other, and you challenge me. This was challenging and yet so rewarding. And I'm just forever thankful, and I'm so proud of the woman you are, and can't wait till you guys come up to New Hampshire.
I know. We're definitely coming. We're definitely, okay. I don't know about Look, I don't know about the snow part because that scares me when you post those pictures. But just because I want to definitely hike up one of those mountains that
yes, you do.
You do so diligently. So, again, I want to say thank you to Doreen. It's been a pleasure, folks.
Thank you.
This is the end of the interview, and I want to say thank you guys so much for listening to the 40 is the End podcast. I'll see you on Wednesday with our weekly cliffhanger. Take care. Bye-bye.